Chapter 13. "You what?" Cutup says, too loud, but it's very, very hard to care right now. He was just worried, Fives defends, sliding in like he's going to put himself between Echo and Cutup. At Cutup's glare, though, he falters, wavers. Whatever Echo did, whatever Echo said, Cutup is guessing that Fives didn't entirely agree. Echo, for his part, doesn't look even slightly repentant, which makes Cutup's urge to punch him that much greater. "I was wrong about the force-sensitive part," he says, and his expression dares Cutup to call him on it. "But I was right about everything else. He left, and he was working with the Kaminoans to make us." "He was tortured," Cutup says, and that's too loud, too. "He was tortured, and he escaped. He told us that. Echo, what the hell? You didn't tell me or Heavy." "What was the point?" Echo retorts, voice rising. He steps forward, but they're not cadets getting into brawls in the bunk room anymore, and if Echo wants to pick a fight, Cutup isn't going to be nearly as nice about it as Heavy was. He left, so obviously he didn't care. What part of "he was a prisoner" isn't getting through your thick skull? He left because someone was going to notice he killed a Sith, and he didn't want to get stuck back in a cell, like he was for our entire lives. It's not illegal to get rid of a Sith during an invasion. He didn't have to run. Echo bristles, but before he can swing, Heavy grips Cutup's shoulder, pulls him back a step. "Stop it, both of you," he says, though he keeps his gaze on Echo. "What I don't get is why you didn't even try to tell us before you ran for the generals." He pauses, glancing at Fives, who at least has the grace to look guilty. "This is just like you two running off to abandon the squad and get reassigned." Fives winces, but he catches Echo's arm, holding tight. "The Kaminoans don't have any record of Granta as a test subject or anything," he says, "or of any other experimentation on clones. The generals checked." Cutup scoffs. "You really think they'd tell the Republic and the Jedi that they were taking someone's DNA by force and trying to make us all force voids?" "Force blanks," Fives corrects, and then snaps his mouth shut at Heavy's exasperated look. Pauses, and then stubbornly opens it again to say, "General Voss took samples from us. He says he knows a Jedi healer who will be able to tell if our DNA is different. But right now, we don't even know that he was telling the truth about anything." "Why the hell would he lie?" Cutup demands, and it cracks in his mouth. He remembers that moment in the ship on Rishi, Granta's desperation to find Droidbait's batchmates, the realization that struck with his words. The way Cutup had just blurted it out, that they were squadmates and batchmates, that they were the ones Granta was looking for. "Of course you remember what color his hair was," he says, and it feels raw, filed down and bared away to nerves. "He said our hair is like his, black and darker than most clones' hair. And it's long, because that's how they wear it on Telos, and he didn't let anyone cut it." "Eyes, too," Heavy says quietly. "He said our eyes look like his mother's, that they were the same shape as his." It wasn't a lie. None of it was lies. Cutup believes that. Granta saved them, from the droids and from the eels, and... "You said he asked you both to come with him," Heavy says. "If he just wanted to test if we're force blinks, why didn't he just ignore it when you said no? Why the hell would he listen?" "He killed a Sith," Cutup agrees. "Grabbing any of us wouldn't have been hard." "I don't think he told us everything," Fives says quietly. "Echo was just being careful. That's what an ARC would do, right?" "We don't even have his comm code," Cutup says. "If he were holding his helmet, he'd throw it at the wall right now. And the frustration wants to bubble over, spill like acid. They have a dad. Not Django, the original, but someone who cares. someone who didn't sell them all to the Republic, but who doesn't even want them to be soldiers. Cutup knows their duty, and what the war means, and what they're meant for, but he almost got eaten by a carking eel on some tiny base that got every clone at their posting killed. If he had died, nothing in the galaxy would have changed. Fives, Echo, and Heavy would have mourned, probably, and kept moving, and Cutup would have been worm food without ever seeing so much as a single day when he wasn't a soldier. They can't leave, but just the fact that Granta offered means everything, and Cutup's absolutely sure that neither Fives nor Echo told Granta that part. Some piece of him wonders, too, if he'd have been nearly as duty-bound as Fives if Granta had asked him. And it's not something to be proud of, probably, that he'd leave his brothers to fight the whole damn war alone, but they're one squad. What would their presence change? What would it matter if they left? What would it ruin if they didn't have to fight and die and see their brothers die and could just be happy? We're starting ARC training tomorrow, Echo says, still stubborn, still looking like he needs a punch in the face. Cutup jerks away from Heavy's hold, turns so that he won't have to stare at Echo anymore. Echo hasn't said exactly what he told Granta before he left, but knowing Echo's personality, it wasn't the type of thing to win awards for diplomacy. We can't get distracted by our dad, Cutup asks, sharp. By the person who didn't even tell us he was leaving. I was right there. He could have said something. Echo's voice cracks too. Cutup closes his eyes, breathes around the anger, the hurt, the edge of abandonment that he knows isn't fair, but Granta asked Echo and Fives to leave with him. He didn't ask either Cutup or Heavy. Heavy's shoulder presses into his, firm. Come on, Heavy says, and he doesn't look back at Echo or Fives. That cadet, Jax, he was the last person with Granta. Let's ask him. Cutup nods and determinedly follows him out of the barracks. I know what we can put on the wanted poster, Cody says, in the tone that makes fools think he's the most reasonable of the command class. It's not a wanted poster. It isn't illegal to kill a Sith assassin who's trying to overthrow the Republic, Rex says. It's not the first time he's said it. Cody, of course, doesn't let a little thing like logic stop him. He's exactly your type, right? That's what we put. Wanted. Man who makes Captain Rex blush like a shiny. Shut the hell up, Cody, Rex says, annoyed, but he doesn't raise his head from the files he's scanning. If he looks up, Cody wins. More importantly, Rex loses. Good with knives isn't enough of a description. Short enough to pick up, long hair to pull on, and I think you mentioned something about his mouth. Yeah, that he never stopped running it. Rex's ears are red. He's going to murder Cody, and absolutely none of the commanders will blame him. Hell, Fox might even give him a medal. Anything on the security footage? Cody finally deigns to pay attention to the actual job long enough to glance at the screen in front of him. Seems like Ventress or Grievous wiped all of it. There's not so much as a glitchy fragment left. Rex grimaces, sitting back and rubbing a hand over his hair. They have no idea when Granta could have escaped, assuming he did. Rex knows what Quinlan believes, and he trusts Jedi intuition, but he needs some kind of proof. Some edge of certainty that what Granta told Domino was true. Granta was a good liar, after all, and lied easily, constantly, to the droids and to Rex and Cody and maybe to the Shinies. Generals have been in there with Colt for a while, Cody observes after a second, his gaze going to the door of the small side room. He wouldn't lie to them. Colt and Rancor are one of the steel pillars holding up the Gar, and nothing in Rex can believe Colt would be anything but absolutely truthful, especially with Shaak Ti. But doubt rises, just for an instant. Rex remembers that moment in the storage closet, Colt and Granta so close together that another body wouldn't have fit between them, foreheads touching and eyes closed. Knowing now that Granta killed Ventress, saved Colt specifically, it just makes Rex wonder. Scars and backstories can be faked, explanations can be manufactured, but that, well, At least Domino is going to be thoroughly occupied with ARC training starting now, and they'll be safe on Kamino. Blitz is going to keep an eye on their communications, make sure that Granta isn't contacting them, and they aren't contacting Granta, and that's about as much as can be managed right now. The fifth Domino that Granta disappeared with is an outstanding issue, but as much as it grinds at Rex's nerves, the disappearance of one clone rookie isn't nearly enough to make anyone notice, especially since he was marked as killed on the Rishi Moon base. Fives said they saw Droid Bait's life signs themselves, but it's still not enough. It probably wouldn't be enough even if it was Rex who got snatched. Clones are endlessly replaceable, interchangeable. Nothing about that has changed. Light, quick, is a rap on the edge of the door, and another of Rex's current headaches steps through the opening. Rex raises his head, cocking a brow, but Heavy doesn't so much as blanch. It's a good thing he's going into ARC, Rex thinks, with nerves like that. It means he'll be an even bigger headache in a few months, but that can be a problem for future Rex. "Yes, Private," he asks mildly, and ignores Cody's amusement from across the console. "Sir, one of the cadets is missing," Heavy says, and meets Rex's eyes. Rex grimaces, but it's not exactly surprising. There was an invasion, touching every corner of the facility, and the casualty counts are still coming in. "All right, make sure his supervisor reports it as well." "No, sir," Heavy says steadily. "It's the cadet who was with Granta right before he disappeared. Jax. From what Fives has said, Granta knew the kid." Rex pauses, startled. Colt has been deployed all across the galaxy, and him meeting Granta somewhere out in the universe can be explained easily enough. But cadets don't leave Kamino often, and when they do, they're monitored the whole time. And he thinks of that moment as he and Cody dropped into the fight. Granta taking a blaster shot to protect a clone, a child, and the boy's terror and disbelief and horror. The kid hadn't tried to run, though. He'd stayed, trying to drag Granta back to his feet, and there hadn't been so much as a hesitation when Rex ordered him to get Granta somewhere safe. It can be explained, that reaction, written off, but somehow Rex suspects that the correct answer is the obvious one. The kid cared for Granta. "Jax," he repeats, and it was the kid with the short hair and extra curls, part of the youth brigade, future command class, unofficially, but he was trying to get to the basement level, Rex says, and looks up, meeting Cody's eyes. One of the other kids said he wanted to get down there in the middle of the invasion. "Must have been for a reason," Cody says, already rising, but at the same moment, the door of the other room clicks open. Quinlan slips out, as ever, oddly quiet despite his size, and there are lines of frustration in his face, a tiredness in the set of his shoulders. It slides away, though, as he looks from Cody to Rex to Heavy, and a brow goes up. "Something happening?" he asks, light despite how serious his gaze is. "The cadet who knew Granta disappeared, too," Cody says, "but during the invasion, he tried to go looking for something down in the basement level." Quinlan's eyes narrow, but he tips his head, moves to join them. "Where's the closest entrance to the area?" he asks Heavy, who hesitates. "Three halls down, sir," he says after a second. "But the lift's broken, I think. Cadets aren't supposed to use it." There's no trace of Granta in the Kaminoans' systems, no mention of him anywhere. Rex has interrogated multiple teams of scientists, and they all say the same thing. The clone contract is complete as far as the science goes, and no one's attempting to add to it. No one has ever heard of a force blank, no one is studying them, all genetic donors are willing or the contract is refused. But it's a hell of a thing to lie about, isn't it? There are easier forms of manipulation, particularly with a rookie squad already on edge from the invasion of their base. And Colt wouldn't go along with something dangerous to clones, not willingly. Granta killed a Sith. Maybe that was manipulation too, but Ventress is very, very dead, and that makes Rex a little more inclined to believe, despite the lack of any other clues. Seems to me like a broken lift is a decent excuse to close off an area. Even if the missing cadet's not down there, there might be something interesting, Quinlan says. He tips his head at Heavy. Lead the way, trooper. Yes, sir, Heavy says grimly, and he makes for the connecting hall, barely waiting for Quinlan, Rex, and Cody to fall in behind him. As they move, Cody slides past Rex, quickens his step to catch up with his general. "Sir," he says quietly, "anything from Colt?" "Nothing helpful," Quinlan says ruefully. "He's as cool as a snowball on Hoth, and he just says that he met Omega while he was in training, in the facility, and only has vague memories of him. There's not much information on what Force Blanks can do, so for all we know, that's entirely true." "Colt's a bad liar," Cody says. "Almost as bad as Rex. I don't think he'd get one past you, sir." Rex makes a sound of vague offense, though it's half-hearted. "I don't have to lie to my general," he says. "Or for her. General Tashi wouldn't ask me to." "No," Cody says, dry. "Because she knows you'd choke on your tongue the second she did. How'd that last undercover mission go, by the way?" Rex refuses to dignify that with an answer. Quinlan snorts, leaning into Cody slightly. "If Colt met Omega during training, though, it means Omega's been coming around for at least 6 years, maybe longer. Even for a Force Blank, breaking into Kamino that many times is a hell of a risk." "Unless he wasn't breaking in," Rex says, ignoring the way Cody leans back like a sap, one hand on Quinlan's back. He scans the hall as Heavy pauses near the lift and... motion. A body ducking around a corner, dressed in a cadet's red uniform. Rex moves before he can consider the implications, lunging after the kid as Cody jerks Quinlan out of the way. Two long strides eat up the distance, and he grabs, catches the tail of braids and then a collar, and flips the kid around with a heave, throwing him straight up against a wall. There's a yelp, a brief struggle, and then the kid throws his hands up in clear surrender. "Sorry, sorry, I'm sorry, Captain," he says quickly. "I just panicked, I'm sorry." "Funny place for a cadet to be lurking," Rex says, tugging him around. "A pilot," he thinks, sweeping a look over the patch on the kid's uniform. "Almost ready for deployment, probably, with a tangle of thin braids and thick curls pulled back in a tail, a dotting of tiny star tattoos around the corners of his eyes." He looks deeply chagrined, but not alarmed, and as Quinlan rounds the corner as well, the brat winces. "I was just loitering," he tries, and Quinlan snorts in amusement, folding his arms over his chest. The way the kid's gaze goes straight to his pecs and biceps is wholly amusing, and also unfortunately relatable, Rex thinks, but he shakes the cadet lightly to pull his attention somewhere more productive before Cody eats his face. "You get I'm a Jedi, right?" Quinlan taps his temple, looking bemused. "I don't even need to look at that cute face to know you're lying." For a moment, it seems like the cadet is going to protest. Then, all at once, he deflates with a sigh. "Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. Glad you think I'm cute, though." Quinlan grins, lazy. "Objective opinion. You're definitely cute. And you're definitely going to tell me why you were keeping an eye on this particular lift, right?" "Yes, sir," the kid says, a little mournfully. "A friend asked me to while he's getting ready for his exams. I'm waiting for deployment orders, so I've got free time, and I said I would." "No questions asked," Rex asks, highly skeptical. "You just sit out here for hours on end watching an out-of-order lift and don't even want to know why." "Not really?" the kid tries, but when Quinlan gives him a look, he groans. "General, sir, I made a pinky promise. If I break the sanctity of my oath, what use am I to the Gar?" Rex hopes, desperately, that this cadet isn't one of the ones slated for Torrent. Maybe for the 501st in general. He is already going to have enough of a headache just dealing with Domino. If he is headed for the 501st, maybe Rex can pawn him off on one of the commanders who really needs a good headache or two. Like Wolf. Watching Wolf suffer is always fun. Thankfully, Quinlan just looks amused. "Fine, what's your name?" "Comet, sir." Comet shifts like he's going to wiggle out of Rex's grip, but Rex stops him with a warning rattle, and he makes a sound of deep regret. "Captain, I swear, I'm just watching the door, nothing else." "Watching it for what?" Cody asks, unimpressed. He raises a brow at Comet, then asks, "Or should it be who?" Comet flicks a glance at Heavy, like he's looking desperately for backup. "Just watching the lift, and it's broken, so who seems like a stretch?" "Uh-huh," Quinlan says, and jerks his head. "March him up to the drop. Let's see what he does under pressure." "Sir?" Rex asks, confused, but Cody catches Comet's arm and frog marches him back down the hall, straight to the lift, then drags him to a stop in front of it. Comet looks thoroughly resigned, but he levels a pleading look at Quinlan. "Sir, I'm just about to be deployed, and I was the best pilot in my class. If I get a black mark on my record now..." "Relax, Comet. No one's handing out black marks." Quinlan tips his head at the control pad beside the lift. "Do you know the code?" Comet grimaces, but tellingly, he doesn't answer. Rex raises a brow, glancing at Cody. Cody glances back with narrowed eyes, wary, because the lift door is locked with a code that should need an instructor's authority or hire to open it. Maybe a scientist or instructor has been having cadets run errands using this lift, but that's against regulations in a big way. If Comet was making pinky promises with someone overwatching the lift, though, that person was likely another cadet. "Who else knows the code?" Cody asks, serious. "No one should be handing it out." "They're not," Comet protests quickly. "But sometimes the display freezes, so when you walk by, you can see the last numbers someone entered. And someone uses this thing pretty frequently, so the code's up a lot. I'm not the only one who knows it, but no one had to tell me." "That would be an easy enough way for a cadet like Jax to slip down here," Rex thinks, frowning. "Access to the lowest level is generally restricted, given the fact that there are plenty of delicate systems down there at risk of sabotage, though, and he shouldn't have had reason to keep going down there, particularly when getting caught would have come with a heavy punishment. Not unless there was some kind of draw," Rex thinks, exchanging a look with Cody. "A draw like a person, maybe." "Heavy," Quinlan says, and Heavy jerks his head up, just managing to hide the grim, foreboding edge to his expression. "Keep a hold of Comet, all right? Cody." "Here, sir," Cody says, and steps forward. Quinlan doesn't glance back, doesn't check where he is, just takes a breath and then reaches out, brushing his fingers lightly over the number pad. There's no gasp or shout or jerk. At this point, Rex knows better than to expect it, given how often the 212th and 501st work together. Quinlan twitches once, a subtle tremor that's gone on a heavy exhale, and then he opens his eyes again. "Scientists," he says, dropping his hand and taking a deliberate step back. "At least 6 of them. I don't recognize them, but I caught a glimpse of one's badge. They work under Nala Say." Inch by inch, a quiet tension winds its way through Rex. Nala Say is the head scientist, and not much goes on in Topoka City without her knowing about it, even less in the cloning facility itself. "I didn't think there were any labs in use down here," Rex says after a second. Quinlan grins, all teeth, and punches in the code. "Neither did I, and I don't remember any of those scientists from our interviews with the active teams." Grimly, Rex rests a hand on his blaster as he follows Quinlan into the lift. Cody follows, then tips his head at Heavy and Comet, calling them in as well. Looks at Rex again, and Rex meets his eyes, then says, "Seems to me that if you were stealing DNA, you'd want to lock the person you were stealing it from away where most people wouldn't find them." Comet goes very, very still, hardly seeming to breathe. "Yeah," Quinlan says, watching Comet. "Not as hard as it could be when you don't have to worry about the Jedi stationed here feeling all the anger and hatred of someone kept prisoner." Heavy's hand is white-knuckled around Comet's shoulder, probably bruising, and his face might as well be granite. Rex slants a glance at him, thinking of stolen DNA, clones changed and experimented on, the scars he glimpsed on Granta's wrists. Granta had said he was tortured. If he really was locked down here, and Jax knew him well enough to be looking for him in the middle of the invasion, Jax probably knows a fair amount about what was happening to him. And then, quiet, Comet says, "And the pain." There's a pause, careful. The only sound in the lift is Heavy's indrawn breath. Comet has his eyes on the floor, his shoulders hunched, and Rex doesn't need to be a Jedi to know that he's angry. "It wasn't just, I only saw him once, but I think the part you should be worried about is how hurt he was." "Were you one of the ones who helped him escape?" Quinlan asks gently, and Comet nods without looking up. "He was," he falters, struggling for words. "I thought he was going to die before we even got him to a ship, and he was worried about us getting caught, wanted to take us with him. He shouldn't have been locked up like that. Of course I helped. Heavy closes his eyes, expression twisting. The door of the lift slides open, and without hesitation, Quinlan turns and stalks out, long strides carrying him down the bare white hall. Following something, Rex thinks, glancing at Cody and then picking up his own pace. Can you sense something, General? Cody asks. Not Granta, Quinlan says without looking back, even as he comes to a halt in front of a white door, only a narrow set of bars set into it like a window to show that it's not just another storage room. But Jax was terrified. The last few times he was down here, he was so scared he couldn't think straight. Rex has never particularly wanted a Jedi's senses, not really. He's particularly glad he doesn't have them now, and he slants a glance up and down the hall, half expecting a Kaminoan to emerge from one of the other featureless doors. Of being caught? Quinlan shakes his head, laying a light hand against the latch. The cell was empty, he says, and he was terrified it was going to stay that way. End of chapter 13.